Okay.
One of our colleagues, I won't mention his name, had erected this machine, this thing, and of course, if you were going to heat up the closed system, which it was, you had to have an escape vent.
Oh yes.
Guarded by a drying, you know, a dry tube to stop the moisture going in. He'd forgotten to do this.
Oh yes.
So he'd put the whole thing on as a sort of sealed up.
Oh, just a boiler, just a boiler,
Nowhere for expansion, for the hydrogen to go.
I see.
And the obvious happened. The whole thing blew apart, and it was
blew methanol all over the place.
Yeah, it was being heated on a Bunsen burner.
Oh, yes.
But not directly. It had a water bath on a Bunsen burner.
Well, and then he'd gone off and left it or something.
Yeah, it went off to lunch. Well, I'm not surprised. It was a long-term job. I mean, you had to reflux the thing for quite some time.
Oh, yes, yes.
He thought he was going to just reflux.
Yeah.
I think he told me, so it's always going, I've left that going, you know, it's all right, Liz. Yeah. And there we are. And so 2 litres of methanol on fire.
Yeah, so of course it burnt itself off and then...
Oh, yeah, there was nothing to show.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Fireman came along, there wasn't a fire.
Oh, yes. Oh,
that was
the
most exciting thing that happened to me, I think.
Yes, oh, that sounds...
Well, I went for us, were you?
Yeah. Do you remember when old Blanchard used to have to make his NG in the
sink? Yes, I wanted to talk about that. Yes, oh, yes. That's right, You saw that, did you?
Yes.
Give him his due. I mean, he kept on doing it.
Oh, yes.
But when he left, nobody else...
No, he took it up, no.
No, they said, I'm not doing that. And,
it seems it wasn't on the list of on the spec really, but he used to like to do it. I think
that was right. Yeah. Something he'd always done.
Then the heat test was done on it afterwards.
Yeah, that's right. He had to prove that the glycerin would make good nitroglycerin.
Yes, but we weren't allowed to approach within so many.
No, that's right.
Of a sink,
they used to put a tape or a bit of string around the lab so that keep away from it.
Yes.
Hope not anybody wanted to go very near. But, the other thing. I mean, now you. The other thing, I mean, I got recollect. George Smith was the other.
Oh, George Smith, yes.
The other sort of source of amusement in some ways, sorry, for old George. Not so poor, actually.
No.
He was still doing sort of lab work until quite a late advanced age. And his trouble was that he had so much going for him outside that he used to get so tired that by the time he got to work, he was going off to sleep.
Oh, yes.
Remember this?
Yes, I remember George was sometimes a bit sleepy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember sitting in the balance room weighing at one balance while George was on the adjacent stall falling on my shoulder.
Oh, yes, like me in the classroom.
Yeah, that's right, going off to sleep on my shoulder. Didn't help much. And the other time I saw him go to sleep was he decided he was going to analyse or test some acids.
Yes.
And this was some pure nitric acid he had.
Oh, yeah.
Not the sort of ordinary 70% concentrated that you buy.
No, this was the
stuff
nitric
for making nitrating hexamine.
Oh, yes.
Make RDX. And so he's, of course, what he had to do, he got a measuring cylinder, he was going to pour 200 mils of this acid into this measuring cylinder and then drop the hydrometer in it.
Yeah.
So he started pouring his 200 mils of acid into the measuring cylinder and dozed off. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
He did. He was dozing off.
Yeah.
And so I was watching this with some amazement. Yeah. And so it took a bit of time before anything sort of penny dropped, you see. I could see the acid mounting in the vacuum, in the cylinder. And it went up and up and up until eventually it overflowed and ran onto his hand.
Oh,
he woke up. He woke up.
Oh,
he couldn't have been fast asleep, but he woke up then.
Just
knew,
sort
knew,
of
and knew what to do. I mean, fortunately, he was standing next to the tap.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Because that stuff was terrible for burns. It wasn't ordinary nitrogen, was it?
Worst thing we had,
Yes. Yeah. Oh, dear. There's one last question here. Did you meet or get in touch with your future husband or wife at RGPS?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Did you? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, he asked to be remembered to you.
Oh, did she? Yes.
She
Oh,
did, no,
yes.
this morning she did, yeah.
Yes, oh, lovely.
In fact, I was 2 miles together on the phone. She could tell me about her recollections,
Yes, oh, yeah.
Which
yeah,
were
so
mostly concerned lavatories.
Yeah.
We haven't dealt with lavatories.
No. Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, lavatories. Well, you know, there was no main drainage, no drainage, was there?
No, no.
So as a result, you had no water closets. You just had buckets. And where was I? Oh, buckets. Yeah, well, the actual design of the toilet allowed the bucket to be changed without entering the loo. You could
yes, that's right. There was
a little hatch
flap
at the
outside.
Back.
Yes.
And well, one of the things they got up to on Saturday mornings when they were all looking forward to the weekend. And if anybody was foolish enough to go to the loo,
yeah,
he was liable to have a bunch of nettles shoved up his pocket.
Oh, what, the flap, open and flap at the back?
That's right, a bunch of nettles, very effective. By the time he'd recovered, he couldn't see who'd done it. That was
who was this? Who was caught by this?
George Smith was one.
Oh, George Smith got it, yes.
I think it was rather frowned upon. It wasn't thought to be very good for
him. Yeah, well, of course, he was at a disadvantage having trousers down for running out and finding
exactly,
who it was.
Yes, and he dozed off, you see.
Oh, yes.
That was it. I think somebody wanted to go and he couldn't.
Oh,
but anyway, that was that, and the other thing was the outside one. You had to stand in the rain if you wanted to pee.
Oh yes, that was external, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, anyway, eventually women came, and my wife wasn't the first one, but by the time she got there was a little sentry box out the back. That's what they built.
Oh, yes.
There wasn't any main drainage, so there wasn't much point in putting a big lavatory block up like they did eventually. They had a little sentry box, which was okay because it was all covered in trees and so on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Girls used to nip out there and occasionally used to see the smell of something burning, which was a bit mysterious, and everybody, I didn't know what they was for.
Mm.
I was 16, 17, I was a bit older than that. Anyway, whatever it was. So that system lasted until just after the war. Well, when went to work there, I think it was 45, 1945.
Mm.
And
did she go in the lab?
Yeah, she was working for, she was actually working for RARDE.
Oh, yeah.
By that time, they'd began to colonise the place. You weren't there then, were you?
No, I'd left.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happened was that when the war ended and they said, well, what are we going to do with the Royal Gunpowder Factory? The people at Woolwich, the chemical side of the RARDE at Woolwich, or what they weren't, they, whatever they called them, so we'll take that, you know, we'll colonise that.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually they moved all their, not quite all, nearly all their operations at Woolwich in explosives chemistry came to Waltham Abbey.
Mm-hmm.
And as did the work that they were doing down at Swansea. They took over Swansea University during the war. There, a lot of so Welsh people entered the RARD because of it. Eric Pembridge, remember him?
Yes.
Mm. And George Welby, did you ever know him?
Yeah.
They came, and they weren't the only ones. They came from.
They were some of the first to arrive after the.
That's right, war, yeah. And they arrived, and they bought a big green hut with them to accommodate themselves.
Mm.
Remember that was sort of went beyond the RDX lab.
Yes, that's still there, I think.
What the green hut is?
I think so, yes.
I didn't think it was, but anyway.
Oh, well, is it a hut there? It might not be the original, I suppose.
Well, it's a big place.
Yeah, this was quite much bigger than the RDX hut.
That's right, yeah. They're twice the size of the RDX hut. Mm. Green.
Yeah, I think it is still there.
They call it the green hut. Is that still there? Oh, God. Anyway, I'm a bit surprised they kept that and threw away the RDX app, which I used to work in. I used to think it was quite good in
there. Yes, nice and light, wasn't it? Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, got back to the loos, because when they came, they started bringing women, and also the drainage was put in, and so they got rid of the everything, all the other oddments, including this sentry box.
Oh yes.
But when Wim was there, they it was towards the end of the war, and they were they got in a gang of Italian prisoners of war.
Mm.
A lot of them, 1,500, I don't know how many there were, but there were an awful lot of these folks brought into the factory to clear the trees.
Mm.
And so I think it was Wallace, Richard Wallace, was given the job going around the establishment and marking out the few trees they wanted to keep, which he did. All the rest were cut down. And all these Italians, sort of, their arrival coincided with Wynne's arrival, you see.
Yeah.
Well, after a while, they'd cut nearly all the trees down, including those behind the loo.
Mm-hmm.
And she found that in order to go to the toilet, she had to run the gauntlet of all these sex-starved Italians. Being an innocent young woman, she was very fond of this.
Didn't think a lot of it, no.
And the... And they were very polite, she said. They in Italy, you know, you don't ignore people who walk past you. And all the time, every time she went to the loo, all the Italians would stop and say, "Good morning, ladies." Because they called her ladies, because that was what was on the door.
Oh, yes. Oh, I see.
Yeah. It takes funny old load.
Mm.
Anyway, the other thing, interesting thing I found in the old main loo was out the back, there was a sump.
Mm.
The drains from the various sinks and so forth in the lab, lots and lots of water, were flushed out and went into a pit, which was, I don't know, 30 yards away, I suppose, from the building.
Yes.
To the, at an angle to the, an angle between going straight out to the back of the place and going down the sides towards the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In other words, between south and east.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a pit. He went over there. It was that's where the sump, where the drains empty.
Oh, I see. What do they call it? A pit for the
sulphurs.
They call these things. Anyway, yes. Yes, that's it. Yes.
But of course, it wasn't lavatory wastage. It was laboratory wastage.
Oh yes.
Was going into it. The lavatory wastage went into the woodland and was left there to people to tread in.
Oh yes.
You remember that?
That was the stuff that was emptied by the lavatory waters,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
What happened was rather strange because the nature of the work changed when they started up the RDX plant. And one of the things that was, and also some of the cordite work required a lot of solvent extractions using carbon tetrachloride.
Oh, yeah.
And this being heavier than water, got into this sump and sealed it.
Yes.
And so one day they noticed that this were overflowing. When they looked at it, there was about a 4-inch layer of carbon tetrachloride down the bottom.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, because it couldn't soak away, of course, that along the bottom.
It wouldn't move. It wouldn't even mix with water. So,
yeah.
And the ground being very wet underneath it, it sort of
reduced the barrier.
So, unfortunately, by about that time, they got main strainage going. I don't know what happened to the carbon tetrachloride. No, I think they tried not to put it down the sink, I think. Let me think. There are other things.
What sort of we had about a week's holiday, that was all, wasn't it? Yearly holiday.
Oh, won't leave.
leave. Yeah, week or fortnight was it? Wasn't?
Well, I mean, when the war came, they stopped all the leave anyway.
They did. That's right. Yes,
they stopped all the leave, and
yeah,
we got no holiday at all.
No,
the hours I spent at that place. I mean, at that time, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
6.5 days a week, Sunday afternoon off.
Yeah, Sunday, that's one afternoon off a week, yeah.
Yeah, and working sort of, I think that's from 8:30 to 6:30 in the evening or something like that. It was quite tedious.
Yeah.
I think we were conditioned to 2 weeks leave.
Yes.
Because by the time the war ended, I was what they called an assistant three, which was a step up.
Yes.
From a lab assistant. I never was a lab assistant. God, I never...
Yeah, that's
I didn't have any leave before the war. Well, I must have done. I think about a week, I think.
Yeah.
You built up your leave in those days. The first year you got there, you didn't get any at all.
That's right, yes. It depended upon your service, didn't it, what you got?
But then, of course, at the end of the war, they had this reconstruction exam, and we became eventually assistant experimental officers.
Mm-hmm.
And with 4 weeks leave. I mean, that was...
Yes, that was...
heaven, that was.
Yes, have that...
And then after a bit, we got six.
Yes.
Yeah, never looked back.
Yes.
What else was there? Done that. Oh, I've got a section in here of eating.
Yes.
Lunch times.
Uh-huh.
When I went there, there were no facilities for the lab staff to have lunch at all, nothing.
Mm.
Or at least that's not quite true. Almost nothing. The factory workers had a building in which they could go.
Mm.
So far as I could make out, there weren't any facilities in there except a chap who could heat food for them.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Didn't sell any food. Whatever you wanted to eat, you had to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Where was that? Was that on Hobbit Island?
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm. I think it was. I think that's where it was. There were two or three. There was one there. There was one up at for the NG workers. And, of course, on the Guncombe side, there was another lot for them.
Yes,
for them.
Oh, yeah.
But the people working in the coal dock further down, they probably had a third. Yet another one for them.
Oh, yeah.
But, there were sort of eating buildings, sort of one for every main part of the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
But all they were somewhere to sit, somewhere where you could warm up your meat pie or whatever it was you brought in. But so far as the lab staff were concerned, it wasn't even that. The only facility we had was the library, the so-called library, which was
in Powdermill Lane, wasn't it?
Powdermill Lane, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember. You probably remember something.
Yes, I'll just go in there occasionally. Yeah. Just to eat sandwiches, wasn't
it? That's it, yeah. It was still doing. You could go in there and eat your sandwiches.
Yeah.
There was no facilities for heating anything.
Mm.
I mean, when it got round to Saturdays, one or two other people there was a bloke called Freddie Dell who was there. I don't think you ever met him before.
No, I've heard of him, but I didn't actually meet him.
He was a bit of a character, and he used to bring in eggs. He was a long-distance walker.
Yes.
You know, a talent. He was a very competent long-distance walker. You know, these blokes who wave their arms about and walk
at
a running pace. And he used to do this on Saturdays, and he had to sort of stock himself up a bit before he went on this job. So he used to eat a couple of eggs. I don't know why.
Yes.
And fatal, I would have thought, but anyway... he used to boil these eggs up, and people used to tip stuff in the water. Potassium permanganate was a favourite. Not every day. Not every day. It would get a bit tedious, you know. But they used to play around with his food. I mean, fortunately, you can't do anything to damage the inside of an egg.
No.
Break it. But for the rest of us, during the week, we went down and we went into this building and sat around a fireplace, where during the winter, if you were lucky, a fire was lit.
Yes, but what's the chap? Dennis, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, he's got a good memory.
Old Dennis.
Him. Yeah, old Dennis, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where he'd come from. He'd been around since
the. I think he was an old NG man.
Was he?
I believe so, yes. Anyway, yes.
Quite a few old characters
And do you remember the worst crime you could commit in that library, which George Sewell did one day? That was to light the fire before, after Dennis had laid it, but I hadn't actually lit it. If you got in there and the fire was laid but not lit, one day he lit it up and Dennis went mad when he came in.
Really?
Yeah, somebody else had lit the fire and it. Anyway, that's another story, yeah.
No, I wasn't there then.
Yes.
I was away that day.
Oh, yeah.
But, Marquee, they used to give you newspapers and some magazines.
Oh, yes, it's a very good reading room, actually,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right.
And do you remember all those Illustrated London newses?
And, of course, there was table tennis.
Yes, had letters and billiards upstairs, wasn't
billiards
it?
Billiards upstairs, yes. Yeah.
See, but they had no end of old
books,
you know, Illustrated London News and all those things. That it was I don't know where all those books must have gone. I don't know where they...
Well, I had some of them.
Did you? Oh, yes.
Well, they were lying around. They were going to the dump, and I thought, I'll have some of these.
Was that after the war or recently?
Immediately after the war.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't interested, frankly. I looked at them and thought, oh, God, I can't go want that or that or that. And
yeah, well, of course.
I might look at that.
Yes.
I never did.
No.
I kept them for a few years, and then they got lost.
Oh, yeah.
Shame, really.
Yes, they were
To be quite honest, I don't think there's any shortage of books. And there was sort of, most of them were sort of books with any conceivable interest. I mean, they dated from, you know, the turn of the First World War and before.
Oh, yes, went right back.
If you've ever picked up a novel of that period,
yes.
apart from the well-known ones,
yes.
they're almost unreadable.
Oh, yes. I just used to sort of get stuck into the Illustrated London and things like that.
That's
you know,
right,
I used to browse through those.
Yeah.
But, that was... anyway...
Is that enough of this?
Have you got any more to your notes? Let's
barely started,
Ron. Hey?
Barely started.
What?
Barely started.
Barely started, oh, yes.
I'm going to finish this in one go.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what,
You want a break?
We've got... what you got? Yeah, let's leave it for now then, and then shall I give you a ring back? When would you like if you'd like to do another one, we get it all down. Later today or
not later today. Let me think. What's a good day?
Same time next week or something like that.
Friday. When do we do Friday? Monday is a good day for me, actually.
Yeah, well, Monday, it'd be, for me, it's best Monday afternoon. How does that? Monday morning, we're all involved in washing and things like that.
I am too. That's why it's a good day. Oh, you haven't got things organised,
tell you what,
right?
Our washing's usually finished by 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So what about 11 o'clock next Monday?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah,
hey, shall we leave it at that?
Let me finish it. Can I just finish this shit?
Yes, that's right. Yes, carry on.
That away.
Yeah, of course.
When the canteen opened, you know, when they opened.
Yeah.
Of course, it was very useful because you had food rationing then.
Oh yeah.
So people used to go down there. Soon got fed up with it after a bit, but the point was with the food rationing, it was a good thing.
Yeah.
I remember the food wasn't very good, but the smaller snacks and things were pretty good. They used to make good cakes and buns within their
Yes,
limitations.
That's right. And do you remember
they came round on a bicycle?
On a bicycle.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
I made a note of this. Come down with garlic buns. Some old boy rode around.
Yeah, we look forward to those.
Yeah, indeed we did. The other thing I remember was lion's fruit pies and rice pudding. That if you were ever hungry, you could always have that.
Oh, yeah. Lance fruit pie and rice pudding?
Yeah.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Very, very
those square things.
Substantial fit and stomach
filler. Oh, great.
Then, I've got a bit here about doing night work on the south side.
Oh, yes, let's have that.
We worked from 9, I think it was 9 in the evening till 6:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a long night. And then... At 6:30 you left. Well, well, the nights went by fairly uneventfully. You were very busy, actually. Mm. There was a lot to do. The people who do were working on days seemed to think it was a good thing to leave us plenty to do if you were night time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they, once they had that done to them, when they were on days, they did the same to everybody else.
Yes.
The place was very quiet. People used to bring samples in. There were tales of young women bringing samples in the middle of the night and staying longer than they ought to, but unfortunately it never happened to me. You can guess who it did happen to, though.
No.
Well, surely you can.
Oh, what? Somebody who should be nameless, but a friend of yours. Yeah. Was it? Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Yeah, you gave me a graphic account of one evening.
Good old boy. Yeah,
yeah, you can rely on
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah.
No, and also, of course, I don't know if you remember, there was a loft to that place.
A loft, that's it, yes.
Yeah,
I remember
you,
that.
You know, it was a yeah. solid building and they had little rooms.
A little ladder up to it, wasn't there?
Eh?
There's a little ladder going up to it.
Yeah, and the ladder goes up to the top. And,
yeah.
He said, well, you want to bring a mattress in here. Well, it's true. I mean, you were sitting around dozing. You might just, well, what you needed was an alarm clock as well. But anyway, you know, he accordingly, he brought it into sleep and used it for all its purposes, apparently.
Oh, yes.
Hmm. Not frequently. I do know.
It was there if you wanted it, yes.
Yeah, I do know the lady he mentioned, and she was a bit... tempting, I must admit. I was too young, too callow, is the word.
Callow, that's it. Callow youth.
Anyway,